What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Yeah, watch us live on YouTube and subscribe. Getting even further south.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've been doing our Friday Ask Us Anything, where we talk about whatever you want to ask us. You send us your questions on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and we will go through those one at a time and getting to the next question now. I've got one for you guys. Would your spouse appreciate you more, and or would you appreciate your spouse more if you shadowed them for a day doing your job or their job? How much does your spouse know about your daily life versus how much you know about theirs?
I think I know her schedule a little bit more because her schedule involves our kids. So once I leave the house, she doesn't have any idea what I'm doing at work. But I know a little bit more about what she's doing because
You might know where
kids.
She is, but do you know what she's doing and what it takes to do her job?
At any given moment, I don't know. But I know, I know where she's at, but I don't know what she's teaching.
Like, that's the thing here, though. Like, you're talking about her as a wife and a parent and her location because you need to know. Like, I know on a regular day, I can call my husband at this time or this time or this time because he's got prep period or he's in passing or whatever, lunch. I do not know professionally what my husband has to do minute by minute in order to do his job well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he does his job well. He's been named the department chair or whatever of his department. And I know that he has had success in being an educator. But sometimes the stories I hear about what students that he has have to deal with and just the complications, it makes me think, like, I know for a fact I could not do what he does.
Mm-hmm. I think my wife and I would both equally learn about each other's jobs if we'd shadowed each other for a day. Because I think we both generally understand what each other does, but seeing it in action is different.
Who has to work harder?
She does. She does because she has to think more about everything going on because she's with the kids than I do. Like, she just has more on her plate.
Your children or students?
Everything. Like, she has to...
I'm talking professionally.
Just professionally?
Yeah.
I still think she does because she has to prep more. I mean, I have to do a lot of prep here, but it's not... It's like news. You know, we have to pay attention to the news. And when I'm hosting, I have to craft a show differently, which I respect that you have to do every day. I come in here and react. So in that sense, I don't have to prep that. I just have to know what's going on.
What do you think, Brad?
My wife is very curious about what I do because it's really hard to explain what a producer does on a radio show outside of, like, it's an apropos title, produce the show. But I think that she would have a better understanding of it. But my wife is an amazing person, and I don't know what I could do to make her respect me more. And I had a ton of things that I know that I could do to make her respect me less, but she is such a great person in that sense. And then, like, to know what she does on a daily basis, I have a small idea because I was a substitute teacher and I was a substitute teacher at her school. I never substituted her class, so I never got to meet her students or get a good feel for what her class was like. But to your point, to know what the kids go through, to be on top of everything that goes there, to understand that you're responsible for those 25 to 30 kids each day, each hour, new group of kids, that their education, their safety, and their well-being is your responsibility, that's way more difficult than what I do here on the show.
I Jared would have a good idea of what I do every day because he did TV radio before he became a teacher. I think what people wouldn't understand, because there's nothing about what we do that is really adjacent to normal life. It's a very weird thing. I was a pharmacy technician for a while, and I gained so much knowledge about pharmaceuticals, different prescriptions, generic names of, you know, medicines that really do the exact same thing as the name brands, insurance situations that people have. And when I quit working in a pharmacy, it was like 6 months, and all of that just went away because nothing that I did there was normal people's stuff. It was super industry-related stuff. I think what we do on a regular basis here is so fast-paced that it becomes very difficult to keep up with. Like, for instance, if you're hosting a show and you're DMing the Missouri State Senator...
Hypothetically,
because they're like, hey, I'm on a plane with the president, ask me questions. And you sit there and you're like, okay, well, I'm asking Ryan Wiggins questions right now. Maybe I will send a quick message to Senator Eric Schmidt and see what he has to say. And then he's like, how about I come on the show? And then he does, which is just absolutely amazing. Senator Eric Schmidt back on with us. Thank you for the time today and answering that DM. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Sure. No, I was on the plane, and instead of doing like real work that my staff gave me, with my takeout binder, I just decided to be on X and do like a Q&A. So yeah, I was. So anyway, I just landed and back in St. Louis. So I figured I'd call. Absolutely.
Well, we're very glad to have you. I want to ask you about the confirmation process, which was the question that I did send you. We're going to see now moved indoors, the inauguration taking place on Monday. How quickly after that are we going to have a Secretary of State, a Defense Secretary, an Attorney General, and so on?
So I think next week, for the confirmation hearings that we had this week, so Pete Hegseth for Department of Defense, Pam Bondi, AG, Marco Rubio, Kristi Noem, Doug Burgum for Energy, I think the ones that you saw this week will get votes next week. That's my hope. I know that I think Marco Rubio is teed up for actually Inauguration Day on Monday.
Good.
So, yeah, we're looking to move that quickly to make sure, especially on the national security team, to have that in place. There's obviously a lot of threats around the world, and so we want to make sure the president's got his team in place quickly. So, and then after that, you know, we'll move on. I think, you know, Kash Patel will be in front of the committee before the end of the month, in front of the Judiciary Committee that I'm on. So I think we're gonna try to move quickly.
Senator Eric Schmidt on with us right now. Do you feel as though there's any, is there going to be a struggle to get any of these confirmations through once the votes actually happen?
I don't think so. I mean, we don't need any Democrat votes to do it. I've not heard of any Republicans, Senate Republicans, you know, as no votes on anyone yet. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But I would point out historically, it'd be really rare, actually, if there was. I mean, since Bill Clinton, there's only been three no votes, not like, you know, confirmations that went awry, but just no votes altogether on any nominees of a president from the same political party as the Senate. So I think that generally speaking, you're going to get broad discretion for the president to put his team together, his or her team together. And President Trump certainly earned that right with the mandate that he got on November 5th.
Senator, I remember hearing Senator Whitehouse's commentary to Pam Bondi, and the really slow. He has, I don't know, bifocals, so he's got his head down and he's kind of looking up. It's a weird presentation when he's saying something to the potential next Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi. You would deem it to be inappropriate to find a name and then find a crime and then invoked the inverse as being the appropriate way of going about it. How do you react as a former attorney general, now senator, when you hear the Democrats very boldly say something so hypocritical like that?
Well, in that committee hearing, I was there. It was like you were in an alternate universe.
Right.
You were sort of like, what world have the Democrats been living in over the last 4 years to have that kind of sudden concern or find religion on the independence of the attorney general? I made sure I made the point that Eric Holder, I mean, this isn't a new phenomenon for the Democrats. Eric Holder referred to himself as Obama's heat shield and his wingman. Loretta Lynch, when she was AG under Obama, briefed Bill Clinton on the tarmac about it in the ongoing investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails 2 days before her FBI interview. So, like, spare me the outrage. And then, of course, the last 4 years, what we've seen under Merrick Garland was exactly that, a Soviet-style form of justice, which was, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. These zombie cases were resurrected. Jack Smith, who's, you know, totally disgraced, overzealous prosecutor, was charged, essentially, with putting President Trump in jail so he couldn't win the election. And they failed. They absolutely failed. All this lawfare, I think people rejected. The American people didn't want to see it. Pam Bondi, I've known for years from AG World. I got a chance to introduce her on Wednesday, when that was, Wednesday. She's great. She'll restore credibility. She's fair. She's tough. She's smart. And, you know, she can't get in there a moment too soon.
We're speaking with Senator Eric Schmidt. Very grateful to have you on the phone with us here. A little impromptu conversation, as you have said, you've landed back in St. Louis. I want to know about your conversations in the hearing there with Pete Hegseth. You went hard in on the DEI. And, you know, if there's anywhere DEI should not be plaguing the system, you would think it would be under the responsibilities of the Secretary of Defense. Is Pete Hegseth going to get the job done to get DEI out of our military right away?
Absolutely. I think he's totally committed to it. We had that conversation in my office about a month ago, and I wanted to make sure I had a chance to ask him about it in the public hearing. I mean, I think he's really committed to it. He understands how destructive this divisive ideology is. There's no place in our military. You shouldn't be dividing the room by race. And I pointed out just a few examples. The Air Force Academy had discouraged language, including mom and dad. You're not supposed to say mom and dad. You're not supposed to say we're all just people. I mean, this is totally insane. And somehow it's infected our military, and there's no place there. And so I think he's going to root it out. And it's hurting recruiting. I think that's, you know, the ultimate repercussion here is numbers are down. And I think, Pete, one of the great things I think Pete Hegseth is going to do is I think you're going to see recruiting numbers go up. It's going to be the armed forces that we can all be proud of. And look, the men and women who serve, this is not their fault. This is coming from the political class that's being pushed down. And it doesn't matter what room it is, Annie. It can be a barracks or a classroom. They're obsessed with this stuff.
Yes.
They're obsessed with DEI. They're obsessed with critical race theory. It's Marxist ideology. And I think he's going to get rid of it. And I actually think you're going to see you're going to see a flurry of executive orders mostly on the border, but you're going to see it on other stuff too. I wouldn't be surprised if President Trump on day one just says they're all gone. I've got legislation to say no more DEI offices, no more DEI positions in the federal government. I think he's going to do it by executive order too.
Well, Senator, we don't have much time left with you, just about a minute left here, but we do know that the inauguration has been moved indoors, frigid 12-degree temperatures in Washington, D.C. on Monday. Will you be there? And do you feel as though that this is going to go off without a hitch, safe, secure, get straight down to business during the inauguration?
Yeah, I mean, the city's on lockdown. I'm flying back for a father-daughter dance tonight, and then we are going to go back up the family this weekend. So I'll be there Monday. It'll be my first inauguration, too. I've never actually been to one, so it'll be kind of neat. But, yeah, the city's on lockdown. I think it's they're taking every precaution necessary. This was, you know, strictly weather-related. And I don't know. I mean, it was done, I guess, in 1985 in Reagan's second inaugural. It was inside. But we are going to try to push out information. We've gotten a lot of requests from Missourians to attend, and we've, you know, given out a bunch of tickets for people to be able to go do that. And so we're going to try to keep people informed as to what the actual deal is. I think all the inside events, like there's a rally on Sunday afternoon, there's all the inaugural balls that happen throughout the weekend and on Monday, those are still happening. But I think, you know, the actual, you know, swearing in and all that stuff, which is outside where you've got on the Capitol Mall and on the Capitol steps, that'll be different. That'll be moved inside. So there are going to be some changes, but we'll try to keep people in the loop.
Senator Eric Schmidt, we appreciate your time. We can't wait to talk to you again and again and again, because so much is going to be happening and you're going to be right there at the epicenter of it. So thanks for squeezing us into your schedule right after you landed back here home.
Sure thing. All right. Take care.
Take care. You as well. Bye-bye. Senator Eric Schmidt, sent him a DM on X, and he was obliged to offer to come on the show. Coming back home for a daddy-daughter dance.
And then back to the Capitol on Monday.
Gosh,
or Sunday.
Can this guy be more likable?
It's
good,
pretty
bad.
Cool.
All right. Well, that is next question with your Missouri senator. And we got some interesting things happening in the 2 o'clock hour. Like I said a little bit earlier, just a little bit of a development in late night television. And in a way, it involves Ryan Wiggins.
I still don't know what the heck you're talking about.
He said to me literally off air, he goes, is this something I'm really going to get excited for, or is this just radio? That's the. I just looked at him like, are you serious?
She didn't answer the question.
No, I was
forced her to answer the question online.
Don't act like you come here to just be faux entertained. You're the entertainer. Oh my gosh. Well, I guess we'll find out next. Don't go away.